Hey, my name's Paige. I'm an addict. And I'm real grateful to be here today, and I want to say that I've really enjoyed this conference. It's been a lot of fun, and we've got a lot of work done also. And that's always good when you can mix work and pleasure with good people. It makes a good combination. To let you know exactly where everything's at, we had a total of 17 pieces that are in the literature package. How many people here do not have a copy of the pamphlets and things? Raise your hand. Okay, we got that many, more than that many, I believe, right over here in this box. And if y'all will just, in an orderly fashion or whatever, come up right now, KB will give you one. There should be a copy of the minutes in there, and that'll have a mailing list on it. From what I understand, with the equipment broken, we could not make a complete mailing list. But what we got is we got a mailing list in the PI package, we got a mailing list in the literature package, and we got addresses just scattered around in different packages. And so, you know, like a copy of each should come up with an entire mailing list. So don't sweat that one. All right. The way it went down is we had 17 pieces that were input. On the pamphlet on sponsorships got approved. But that we're going to continue doing work on sponsorship and try to input more to it next year. The use of medication in recovery is approved. There's a substantial amount of typographical errors and misspellings in there, and it needs proofreading. So, you know, when you read through that, you can just kind of figure out for yourself what needs to be done. Just for today, got approved with no changes. Youth in recovery got approved with no changes. 10-step journal got approved with no changes. 4-step guide got approved with some additions. The triangle of self-obsession got approved with no changes. Now, on the 4-step guide approved with some additions, you will not have those additions. So when it comes out from WSO, there will be a slight difference. Okay. For the newcomer, got approved, and they made the references in there from the quotes from the white booklet. They made them consistent with the basic text approval form. The starter kit got approved with minor changes. The revisions of the white booklet got approved with some minor changes. Acceptance, faith, and commitment got approved with a change in the title to read one member's views on acceptance, faith, and commitment. 45 questions got approved as is, with the exception of the after the 45 questions, when it says if you have answered two or more of these, that should be five or more, okay, of these. Yes, then you might have a drug problem. All right, material that got kicked back for review. I'm still going to try to get that sent out so that the fellowship can input it. I'm not real clear as to how I'm going to do that. WSO will not do that for me, so I'm going to probably just send it out to everybody I got addresses for. You who have copies of this, I would encourage you to attend your local literature meetings, and at least if you're not a regular member there, share this information with them and make it available for them to copy so that they can use. The doctor's overview from San Diego, the four-part doctor thing with the cartoons on it, is for review. That means it needs more input, more work. Okay? Service, the little piece in there on service, is out for review. And self-acceptance, the little one-and-a-half page thing, is review. It just wasn't enough material. On the physician's viewpoint on the basic text, there's two physician's viewpoints in that package. The one that says physician's viewpoint is the original, and the one that says a physician's viewpoint on the NA program in the book or whatever, that's the one that got approved as is with no changes. We are going to put an input form in that for the fellowship to decide whether or not they want his name in there to add a credibility or not, and whether or not to vote whether or not that will be included in the book as a preface or a doctor's opinion. As far as like finances and things like that, the way that the machinery and everything broke down, we paid $40 for the copy machine, $40 for the four typewriters, $10 for delivery, $80 for four cases of paper, that's $20 a case, and 20,000 copies at 2 cents a piece is $400. That totals up to $570. We passed the hat last night at our late night group conscious. Now, y'all don't get the impression that literature is doing all this passing the hat. I'm just reporting on the overall state of affairs of the money. The hat was passed last night by the conference here, which I am simply a part of. I am not a chairman or anything. And they collected $344.50, way better than half of that. My committee sat down. Roy over there is the treasurer, and KB is the secretary, and we figured up the copying and everything that we had done as one subcommittee being a part of this conference, and our part came to $132.97. And we are going to give that to Joseph or whoever the proper individual is upon receipt of a complete financial report with copies of the receipts and everything so that we can be accountable. And basically that's where that's at. And I want to thank everybody who participated. I know that not everyone could, sit in on all the workshops. I know the people that did help. I want to thank especially DJ. I don't know if he's here or not, but I know he busted his ass. And he's a hell of a guy. Let's give him a hand. But then really, I think we all busted our asses. And it was a pleasure to meet y'all from England. And enclosed in the minutes of World Lit is an address of the newsletters. And on that has the London ASC and the New Zealand ASC. I encourage y'all to send them anything and everything, letters, newsletters, anything like that, to them. Let's help them grow. Okay, and I love y'all all, and I'll see you sometime soon at another one of these things.
My attic. Our scheduled speaker this morning, it didn't show up, and we were going to have about 30-minute speaker and then podium participation for the rest of the meeting for whoever cared to have something to say. So somebody asked me, why don't I speak?
Why don't?
Well, I'm going to. So, and, well, I came to this program about going on 3 years ago. It'll be 3 years ago in February. And when I got here, I knew I needed some help because I had gone through a whole lot starting when I was a young teenager with the drugs and everything. And my drug use got steadily worse as I went through high school. By the time I was a senior, I had lost all interest in anything other than getting high. And it caught up with me, the drugs, and I got real close with whiskey about that time. And midway through my senior year, the walls caved in on me, and I found myself in pretty bad shape. Well, I went to the hospital at first time about a month and a half before my 18th birthday, and after that I kind of went into isolation and I really didn't know what to do. But I just kept on going the best I could. Got a little job later that year and made some money and got back out with my old friends to try it one more time. And I landed back in the hospital. I made this private hospital, but they asked me, well, they didn't ask me. They said I couldn't stay there. So I went to the state hospital, and I was there for 45 days. And that was, it was pretty insane. So I finally made it all through that. I turned 19 years old and in treatment. And I got out, and I didn't know what to do. So I just kind of laid low and took this medication that I thought I was going to have to take. But it really wasn't any good. So sometime around early 79, I decided to go out and try it again. Alcohol, you know, I figured I could drink, and that wouldn't mess me up too bad. But another year of that, and it caught up with me, you know, the blackouts seemed to get in the way of things. It was really insane. So one night I was at an AA meeting for somebody that's real close to me. It was their birthday, and I just went to that because, you know, I thought a lot of this person. It was my father. It's his sixth birthday. And at that meeting, I was introduced to a man from Narcotics Anonymous. And Narcotics Anonymous was just getting started here in Memphis and been here about 6 months. And he told me I could come to a meeting and, you know, I could, you know, get my drug problem, probably might be able to help me. So I thought, well, I get the drug problem licked and I can still drink. Well, I found out different when I got to that meeting. But I saw a lot of people there that had smiles on their faces and they had something that I wanted because I knew I wasn't happy. And they seemed to be pretty happy. So they said, come back, and I did. And it didn't happen overnight or anything like that. I stayed clean for a while. Then I decided that, well, maybe I wanted to go with the buddies and play softball and then go get messed up afterwards. And I don't know. I had mixed feelings about it. Because I knew that it wasn't doing me no good. But I came back to the program. I came back to the meetings. They said, well, Ollie, we're glad you're back. Well, so that kind of happened back and forth. That summer, some real bad stuff happened to me when I decided to go out and play around with getting messed up again. And I knew at that time that it was a big lie, and I couldn't tell myself it was okay. So I was back for good, I thought. And I'd been around the program for, I don't know, 5 or 6 months, and I'd met a lot of good people, and I'd been introduced to the steps and been able to kind of pray to God, and I knew that the help was there. So so I made up my mind that I wanted to stick with the program and stick with what was going on here, and I did, and I got a good job. And had to move. I went to Florida. But I went to some meetings down there and led a pretty simple life and kept in close contact with people I knew back here. I came to see them. There was a pretty stupid incident down there that I kind of regretted and rationalized away for a long time. Because I did some of that stuff called nitrous oxide. Just because somebody said, hey, I got some of this stuff, and, you know, it's just like the stuff they use at the dentist. Well, I did that. I was messed up for about a minute or so, somewhere way out there. And I said, well, that's okay. That was just, that's the stuff they use at the dentist. So I just kind of pushed that in the back of my mind. I just wanted to forget. I said, no, I didn't do that. So I went around for a while there, for a good while. I just hadn't used, you know. In the meantime, I joined the service, the National Guard, and went out through boot camp and stuff like that. I still had all these people support letters and everything that they sent me, and the telephone, and more than anything else, I remember I had my day by day out there, and I read that, and I was able to get pretty all right with God, it seemed like. Well, I got back, and sure enough, about a whole year had rolled around, and it was summertime again, and that's when I said, you know, I had a year, I went and celebrated a birthday. Well, about that time, there was somebody in the meetings who would always say, person with the inaccurate clean time is the sickest person in the room, you know. So I took about 3 weeks of that, and this little thing with this nitrous oxide about 9 months before kept on popping up in my head. Well, when I broke down at night at our little free-to-be group, that was pretty emotional. Hell, didn't nobody tell me to get out of there. They just said that they loved me. And, you know, I didn't have to mess with it anymore. So from that time, I called November 1st, 1980, my clean date. And that's what it is. And I celebrated 2 years at the beginning of this month. I got a card from somebody that says, it was a homemade card, it says, you're two, without a doubt. So that was great. It was great to get that. And in this 2 years, I've met so many people in this program. I've gone through a conference here. I've been to a couple of conventions. The people are great. It works, obviously. The steps have worked for me, the ones that I've worked. And life is just, it's just 100% better. I worked my program, things seem to go real smooth for me, but when I get off on what I want to be doing and just thinking about me, that's when things get pretty screwed up. And I've felt that too. But I know it works. And I'm here today because, you know, I want to live this way. And just being able to, the people that were here that shared this with me, you know, now today sometimes I think, well, if I can just help one other person, you know, then I've done something. That's pretty much how it works. It works with me today. This conference has been really great. I don't know what I got in. I guess I may have gotten in a little bit over my head in working with it and everything. Guy came up to me the other day and he says, I said, my name's Ollie. He goes, yeah, you're the chairman, right? But it's been a learning experience. And I'm just real grateful to be able to be here. And really don't know what else I want to say. I love y'all all. And you are like a family to me. I don't know. I want to go on. running this meeting here.
I'd like to see if Gene's around here or somebody. Steven's back here. I love y'all all, and that's about it. Oh, well. I'll stay up. For the rest of this meeting, for however long it runs, it's supposed to be podium participation. So whoever would like to say a few things, please come on up. Hey, John, California.
Drug addict. I just want to acknowledge Ollie and Joe Proctor and Gene and Richard and Scooby and the people in Nashville. Where are we? I did that when I was in Nashville. I kept saying Memphis, and now I'm in Memphis, and I keep saying Nashville. But I want to acknowledge... I just want to acknowledge the people that empowered us to do what we've done here and made me feel really at home, made me feel welcome. And you know, last night I shared at a meeting that I was just grateful that they had meetings in this town because I got crazy. I needed a meeting. It's been a really exciting experience for me, and you know, I think we owe everybody here a big thank you.
Hey, y'all don't have to be shy, you know. Anybody who wants to come up here and say a few words.
My name's Roy. I'm an addict.
Hi, Roy.
This is the first conference I've ever been to. I've been to a number of conventions and many conferences, but this is the first time that in my total desperation and exhaustion from the conference part of it, I was able to slide right into the convention part of it and recover some insanity that I may have lost working. I'm very grateful to the community. I'm grateful to the fellow addicts here, those of us that care enough about the suffering addict to make an effort to get here and to do something about it. I know up in Ohio we have we're constantly involved in controversy, and I don't know if that's we've been tagged as megalomaniacs and all kind of labels from all over the country. And in typical addict fashion, whenever some people in a small group would get together and tell me that I can't come here and I can't do something, well, you can bet your sweet ass I'm going to be here. It's just that simple. And it's going to take me, as usual, after going through these working fun conferences, it's going to take me a couple of weeks to really sit back and take inventory of exactly what did happen. But, you know, now I've got a lot of tools to help me take inventory, just from what came out of some of the Lit Committee work. The 10th step, 4th step, all the guides, the questions. Well, I'll tell you those questions that we come up, those 45 questions, if y'all haven't had a chance to look at those. You know, even if I, on my best day when I walked into the program and I was a pathological liar, I still may be today, but I didn't know it then. On my best lying day, I could have said yes to 42 of those questions, no doubt. It's just real hard. It's real hard to adequately express the gratitude. And I guess the only way for me to truly express that is to get home, get my ass in gear, and start putting to work a little that we learned here this weekend. I love y'all. Thank you.
In my attic. This has been a real trip for me, to say the least. This morning, I'd like to apologize for the breakfast. It wasn't what y'all got. It wasn't what we got. It wasn't a buffet, so we got shafted there. We got shafted as far as the, I don't know if this is inventory or what the fuck is, but I don't know. I'm just, you know, you wake up in the morning and you're kind of lost and foggy and you walk outside. I see a cat in my house and I don't have a cat. And and I went looking for the cat and I couldn't find it. And I know I saw it. And I went out the front door to hopefully open the front door to let the cat outside, and hopefully he'd run out. I could chase him or chase something through the house, and he'd go out the front door, and nothing went. But when I went out the front door, my car was gone. So first I thought somebody had just come and just borrowed my car, so that was one assumption. Then I called down here, and it's been gone and stolen. And the only thing I could think of was, it'll come home. You know? I don't know. Somewhere, you know, I've got envelopes all over my house full of money and from this damn thing, and it's still not enough, and I'm lost. And I had a great time. I enjoyed myself. Just a whole lot, and I've learned a lot, and I've met a lot of neat people that I hadn't met, and I've seen a whole lot of people that I hadn't seen in a while, and it's been real good. I got somebody that's going to kill me or something in the next couple of days. I don't know where he is, but hope I just don't find him or he finds me. And I don't know, for some reason, just all this shit that comes down, it doesn't seem to... I don't know if I didn't work my steps or nothing. I don't know what I did, but it just doesn't seem to fuck with me as bad as it would have before. I feel pretty good. I don't know really what I'm going to do or what we're going to do about any of this shit that's happening, but I figure we'll figure it out in the next couple of weeks. And I don't know. I just hope that after this, that there's some people in Memphis that are still around that are willing to stick through this shit, that aren't ready to run again, or they'll run back. And it's real hard to do a lot of these things by yourself here in town, and I just hope it just doesn't stay that way. And seeing a lot of people from out of town working together and working for one common thing helps a lot, and it kind of builds up your spirits a little bit. And you know, it may be real fucked up, and when I go to Atlanta in February, you know, I may just get a fix there and have to come back to the same shit again, but I hope not. And it's just been real good being here. Thanks.
My name's Brian. I'm an addict. Yeah, I can relate to what Gene was talking about there. Where's shit flying, you know. When I was first coming, when I was on my way up here, you know, and Well, we were sitting up at the sign shop in Marietta printing up a bunch of I was helping Boo print up a bunch of bumper stickers and whatnot, and I mean, I came real close to just saying, oh, fuck the whole thing, you know, we're getting tired and all this kind of stuff, and yeah, I heard so much garbage flying around about, you know, oh, this and that and the other, and, you know, people making ugly accusations about self-will trips and what are they trying to pull and da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, I just didn't know what the hell to expect. I had this real strange premonition, man, that either this is going to be very, very nasty and the whole thing is just going to be a bunch of arguments and squabbling, or it's going to turn out real beautiful. And until I walked in the door, you know, I had no idea which way it was going to go. Well, when we got here at 9:30 or whenever, 10 o'clock Thursday morning, and walked into that first group conscience, you know, the atmosphere was just, you know, wow, it's going to be good, you know. All right. And, you know, it just seems to go out again just to prove that, you know, when the desire is there to help the suffering addict, you know, the rest of it just seems to happen, you know, it just comes right together. And, hell, you know, all the squabbling and arguing and crap just kind of goes along its own way, you know, and, I guess that's just part of the disease or whatever, you know, and it just kind of seems to fly out the window and get overcome by the desire to really do something good. And, you know, that's where this thing's been at for me. It's just been totally positive, it seems to me, from, you know, every angle I've been able to look at it from. I've gotten a lot of good out of it, and, you know, I think the fellowship's gotten a hell of a lot of good out of it. And, oh God, it's just been beautiful. And I could also relate to what Gene was saying about doing it alone and feeling kind of cut off and all that. And, yeah, Memphis isn't the only place like that. And, so anyhow, one thing I have learned about here, you know, is the more service stuff I do, the more I see how the service structure works and, you know, the usefulness of it. And, you know, why do we have this thing sitting on our hands anyway, you know? So, you know, I want to see the next thing I want to see coming down the pike is the Tennessee State region. And, sometime before the next World Service Conference. That's all I got. I love all of you, and thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm an addict. My name's KB. Sitting over there this morning for breakfast, and all of a sudden this kind of strange paradox came to my mind, and it seems like in the last year and a half at work, every time I get geared up to come to whatever, you know, world level function it is, I spend maybe the first 3 days of the week before hanging on just for, you know, the sanity that I think I'm going to find when I get to a conference or a convention. And in fact, you know, that's what, that claim is what gets me here each time. When I took that job about a year ago in November, on the 1st of November I said I'd take the job, but I had this provision that there were these 2 weeks that I had to have in the first month that I worked there I had to have off. And my boss said, well, you know, you are sort of a little token around here. It's the first drug addict to be hired on the staff, and a token in some other ways, too. They're kind of clean-cut all-American alcoholics that work there. And I don't fit any part of that, you know. But anyway, So I, you know, when I said I'd work there, my boss said, well, you know, I know you need those things, so anytime you have to go, you just give us some notice and you can go. And that's how we'll just protect your sanity. That in itself is a little contradictory, but, you know, this arrangement's been made. So I was sitting over there thinking, you know, there's somewhat of a paradox here, because last night when we were in that group conscience, we made a lot of points a number of times about, you know, the negative side of we don't have to all be a bunch of pack rats and carry home our literature and all that and 10 times the amount we need. But sitting over there, I realized that's not a negative thing. You know, I spend a week before I come to work telling everybody I'm going to Memphis or I'm going to California. God knows I'm going to Florida for sanity's sake. You know, and then the first time or the second time or the fifth time you come to one of these, after about the third day you say, I came here for sanity. You know, and just look out this room. You know, there's all these dope fiends who are getting better, and we all get together, and there's just total pandemonium for about 4 days. You know, the only sign I have that there was any sanity is the literature I carry home with me, because if I tried to describe what happened here, you know, no one would believe it. You know, so that's my proof, carried home in my little 65-pound briefcase. You know, the literature I have is the only proof that there's anything that resembles sanity in this room. You know, every one of us on a good day, I'm convinced, could be put in an institution and deemed crazy. You know, so the moral of that story is carry your literature with you. You know, they'll know differently. Seriously, though, there's a part of, I mean, it goes beyond gratitude that comes to me when I come here. The things I did out in the streets are pretty crazy. And occasionally the things that happens at these conventions is pretty crazy. But the difference is a good end comes out of this. You know, it may seem real crazy as we go through it and we stay up real late and we drink tons of coffee and we don't eat right, except when we all sit down and eat together. But something good always seems to come of it. You know, I was reading some literature letters that Bo handed me last night, a complete set of all the literature letters that started before the book did. And I read those as I was going to sleep last night, and it doesn't seem anything less than a miracle to me that some 2.5, 3 years ago, Bo was writing a letter, you know, for in the future. And that's what it sounded like, you know, just a big dream that someday we could maybe have a book, and someday we'd have more than that little white pamphlet. And maybe even someday we could have a collection of stories, you know, and some follow-up pamphlets. And the letter was talking, you know, was sent out to the fellowship, as much of it as was known at that time, saying, this is my dream, will you help? You know, and as I was sitting there reading that, across from my bed was an approval copy of a book, an approval copy of some stories, and 13 new pamphlets that are being sent out for approval. And it's no longer a dream, it's a reality. You know, that's what makes these real special, and I'm real grateful. Thank you very much.
I'm Jim and Maddie. My family. Like my sponsor would say, you know, I'm grateful to be at another marathon survival study. You know. I don't really have too much to share. Yeah. Except that the first of. The first time I was here in Memphis, Tennessee, was for a conference. And I found through you people a new concept of spirituality that I just like to participate in every chance I get, and I'm grateful to all of you. I wrote something down here that you know, that's a dream come true for me, and it's maybe you'll recognize some of this stuff. During our clean times, together we can recover, discover riverfront rapport, and get straight news in the junk mail, and make our freedom connection, or see a lovely rainbow on the NA way at another Memphis miracle.
All right.
I
couldn't comprehend that, much less write.
I'm Stephen, I'm an addict. And I'm glad to be awake right now. I've been up too long, but I've enjoyed it thoroughly. Every time we have one of these things, I try to stay up the whole 4 or 5 days because I get more out of it that way. And that's my brand of sanity, believe it or not. I came to a conclusion, though, that we're going to get a region within the next 3 or 4 months, and rather than, we'll kind of pattern it after, like, sicker than others, but we'll call it strangers than others. That's definitely us. Now, this has been another in a vast array of growing experiences for me and for our area. And I'm glad I was stuck here. You know, some of y'all had a choice. I didn't. I was stuck here. I had no idea that some people were trying to be encouraged not to come, or I probably would have left. I don't know. I wasn't sure I wanted to do anything around here, because every time I do, I get obsessed and I stay up for 4 days and I burn my brains out, and I wake up the morning after knowing a lot and feeling like shit and having grown more than I can handle. I don't know, somehow I feel like it's all worth it. And then sometimes I say, well, why do I push myself? Why keep pushing? And then I see the newcomer come in every once in a while and stay around. And it's not by me. It's not my fault that they stick around. I know that. Message comes from all of us. And all of us carry it. And that's what our purpose for being here is. So that it can keep on growing and we can keep on growing. And I'm glad that we do. Thanks for listening.
My name's Neat, I'm an addict.
Hi.
I think it was about 2 years ago I had this crash landing into the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. And I remember one real distinct thing that I wanted to share. I'd been around about 6 months and I got hooked up with this fanatical, I thought. And at that time, I thought that the only requirement for service work was a $500 phone bill, character assassinations, and 8-drawer filing cabinets, you know. Better than that were phone calls at 3 in the morning. That would go on to 5 in the morning and called back at 8 in the morning that would continue to 2 the next afternoon. And personally, I used to sit back and watch that and say, what in the hell are people doing that shit for? I mean, I couldn't understand it. I couldn't comprehend it. And I would watch people that were doing the work getting all the shit, and it even validated my alibi to not get involved in service work. It's like, why do the people that do something take all the shit? And why are all the people giving all the shit not doing anything? And there I sat, not doing anything, but not giving any shit, trying to figure out whose side I should be on. Since that time, it's like real strange to me, because I noticed one thing about people that were involved in service work, and that was that there was this like special little blessing, for lack of a better word right now, that they shared. There was a special communication that they shared. There's a special unity and a love that they shared, that the common, not to separate or make classifications, but that just the regular NA member that wasn't involved in service work, it's like a different language. I don't know how to say what I'm feeling, but it's like when I walk into a room with someone that I saw in Milwaukee, I walk into a room with someone I saw last year in Memphis, there's just a bond there, you know? It says, yeah, I know what you've been through this last year. And I just want to share that I really feel that that service work and the people that are involved in it share a real common bond and a love that words would only do an injustice to, you know. And my hope right now is that, you know, I sit and watch people in communities get real burnt out. It's like I sit here in Memphis and I'm watching people that are real burnt out. And I talk to people in Michigan that are real burnt out. And all over the place, the same story. There's a few people doing all the work and they're getting real burnt out. And it's like the only thing I'm feeling right now is there's got to be a way to let people know that service work isn't a bunch of shit. You know? And it's like I get it all the time in Marietta, people saying, I ain't getting involved with that because it's a bunch of shit. You know? And I'll be damned if I'm sitting in another one of those ASC meetings. What are you guys doing anyway? And sometimes there's no words to explain it. You just sit there and sit back and watch people lose their shit and kind of snicker, you know. And if the things get done, you know, and had it not been, you know, that I made the surrender, that I would at least try it. That was my thing. I'll put my toe in the water, you know. And next thing I know, I was plunging in head, you know, head first, and I had a $400 for a million. It was just like, I reaped all the benefits, you know. There's got to be a way. My dream right now is that we can somehow let other people know that there's something in service work for everybody, and it's unifying, and it's not distinction, you know, it's not all this friction. Because right now, I don't think there's anyone right here that hates another person. Or if they do, they're not, you know, it's not real obvious, you know. And I hate to be in the parking lot later, but, no, I mean, it's like there is an atmosphere in this room that I'm feeling, that I'm picking up on, that's making me real grateful that I finally got involved. And I'm real grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for the people that put this on. And the last thing I want to say is that I'm hoping that Memphis will communicate to the areas and regions what their need is after we're all gone, because it's not just dumped on you. You know, and you're not left here alone. And I mean, if you just communicate to us by a phone call or something, I'm sure people are going to pitch in and help the best they can. Thank you.
I'm Mickey. I'm an addict. Hi, everybody. Oh, man, I'm just real full of gratitude right now. Just this past October, a dream came true for me. I had this big, you know, region thing, you know, in my head for a long time, and Indiana and Illinois and Wisconsin got together and formed a region, and I guess we're the unknown region right now. The letterheads that we made up, I'm going to be sending KB's way, because that's the name of theirs. But that, you know, that don't bother me. We're a region. I don't care what our name is. You know, that's what we are. And I'm so grateful that other members from that region have been able to be here, you know, and absorb some of this. So, because, you know, I was alone last year, you know, I'm trying to communicate that as a bitch. You know, because I knew that I knew something, you know, and when it was just kind of flushed down the shitter, that hurt, you know, because I was real excited about a lot of the things I learned last year, and I'm just grateful. One of the the highlights of this was for me to sit with all the editors of the newsletters in this fellowship, man, that was a rush. You know, they do exist. They're out there. I can touch them. They're real. In case you didn't recognize that little thing Jim read a while ago was all the names of the newsletters combined. And that's real neat to feel unity with the written words, you know. Last night I had a real weird opportunity. These people just come into the room, and they said, "Hello, are you an AA?" And, you know, I said, "No, well, come on in," you know. And I didn't even think of AA as having service junkies like us. But they do, you know. And they're really interested in what we're doing right now. They love us. All right. They do. They love us, and they're real excited about what's happening. Narcotics Anonymous is coming of age, you guys. I was real, you know, I was going, oh, look at this, look at this. And they were reading it, and they were going, wow, you know. And if they still want to think that we're sober, just bite your tongue. We will be understood very soon, I'm sure. But I have this little thing every time I see something with, you know, 2 A's, you know, I hit this little button that says, fuck it, I don't want to see it. You know, I want to see N.A., and I want to dedicate my ass to N.A. And I got to remain open-minded a little bit and cooperative. You know, and sometimes I play little games, you know, when I find myself in a city where I can't find an N.A. meeting and I got to go to an A.A. meeting and I introduce myself as a secondolic or something, you know, to make a point. We had this guy that cracked me up in our meetings, you know, he'd come in, he'd introduce himself as a drug addict and a narcotics addict, and God love him, you know, I hope he gets clean. He keeps coming around. But last year at this time, we could only locate about not even 20 meetings in the whole state of Indiana. And today we know of 50, almost 50. I'm not a regular. I got one home group that I go to regular, but I just like to go out and visit those new groups, those new baby groups that are just starting out. They have no idea what we're about, you know, and if I can go share just a little bit of it, you know, because I really feel, and I've heard lately, our gratitude speaking and our gratitude acting to help us grow. And I got so much faith in us. You know, I see that stack of literature, and I see all the newsletters communicating and cooperating and sharing and caring. And we don't have to walk on eggs no more. Not knowing where we fit into the service structure. We still ain't sure, but we're finding out. We'll make it place. But I think it's real neat to pick up a newsletter from the East Coast or from the South and share. It's like being in a meeting with them, you know. And picking up something and reading about a little function that I didn't get to go to, but I was there because they shared with me. There ain't a bunch of shit, you know. And because there's a lot of love goes into them, a lot of backbreaking labor. But whenever, you know, it gets done and it gets ready to distribute, then that that labor love ain't a labor at all. And I just want to share one last thing is that last year when I came, I was on the phone begging junkies from Indiana to come down here, and you won't believe what we came. And they was busy eating turkey and stuff, and one guy finally came down and spent one day, and I was able to spend the whole week. And I really absorbed a lot in that week. Just when I'm working with some people, man, I just get to know you so much better. I get respect for your input, and I get respect for your programs because I see you working with steps and service. And if you ain't working with steps and service working, they fit right in there. But when I went back home, man, I was dying of hug withdrawal. Ooh, I couldn't get no hugs. And I was just fucking dying, you know. And I got real emotional in this meeting, man. I said, man, hug that fucking junkie next to you because he may not be here tomorrow. You know, we don't have no guarantees. And I got real crying and really, you know, crazy. And the guy told me that guy that come down here, you know, he said, that ain't real. And I knew it was. I knew it was. I said, it's real. Just realizing the impact of that, it is real. And something I never dreamed possible. And I know what love is to them. Thank God to you people. And in that.
My name's Carol, and I'm an addict. I'm one of those miracles that I didn't believe in when I came here. And I'm real grateful that people believed in me before I could believe in myself. I'm real grateful today for a lot of things. I'm grateful for the spiritual principles and our steps and our traditions. You know, I'm grateful that we can apply them to every area of our life, especially service work. I had a lot of experience this week with surrender and with faith and belief. And what Anita said about walking into these places and seeing somebody that you haven't seen for a few months and just looking in their eyes and knowing what they've gone through at home, that keeps me able, keeps me willing to go through what I go through at home. You know, people tell me it's not real. When I believe and with my whole heart that it's real, you know. I'm real grateful for willingness, you know, for our willingness to come here and do the absolute best that we could do, even though there's a chance that it's not going to be received. I think that's horseshit, you know. I'm grateful to you people. Since I found you and surrendered Narcotics Anonymous, my life has changed enormously in every area of my life, and I'm grateful for it. You know, today I live really means something to me today. You know, today I live. I don't just exist anymore. I don't just hang around looking for a reason to be anymore. I am, and I'm grateful. You know, when I walk into a conference or a convention or, you know, any kind of a function in another area, I look around and I get those hugs. You know, I'm so grateful that I don't have to go through hug withdrawal anymore at home, too. You know, I need the people that come here. I need you people in my life. And I need to travel however long and however far I need to go in order to get you, you know. I'm willing to go to any length to recover. And for me, it's more than just staying home and hanging around and talking. It's about going places and bringing things home. I'm grateful for somebody teaching me the importance of writing things down. And I'm real grateful for the new people that have come into my life in this past week. You know, I love y'all. You know, I'm grateful today that I am beginning to know what love means. You know, I'm real grateful for this, and I love you all. Thanks for having me here.
Freddie, and I'm an addict. Thanks, Brian. My savior. Man, a lot of things went down, you know, back there in my life. And there's few things that I know of that I did or didn't do. One of them is I know I didn't commit suicide. And, yeah, that's the truth, man. I was trying in a bunch of different ways. I never really got into that head, but as a friend of mine used to say, it really pissed me off when I woke up in the morning. Yeah, but there were certain people in my life back then that, you know, I really took for granted. And, you know, hey, I might do this with them, I might not. And some of those people ain't around no more. Some of this will get to me. I know we all got people like that. But, you know, I was kind of like, you know, I'm pretty new in the program, I guess. And, you know, people back in Nashville talking about, well, come on down to Memphis, you know, we got a conference going on. I didn't know what the fuck conference was. But it worked out, you know, I got to come and share with a few people, and that was really neat, you know. And, you know, I don't take this for granted. And I met some people that, you know, I'm going to remember a long time, and I hope I get to see them again. It's like Nikki said, or whoever said, that there are no guarantees, you know. And, it's really been neat for me. If I was any happier, I'd fucking buy. Thank you.
My name's Ed, and I'm an addict. Hello, family. You know, I wasn't going to come to this thing not because of any letters or phone calls or anything like that, but because of personal reasons. And Joseph called me and asked me to, you know, come special, you know, talk Thursday, and I did. And you know, my spirit has a funny way of working. And then my dreams and thought patterns and things like that, I've been able to conceive a dream of, you know, through getting to know that there were other people in the other parts of the world that were staying clean and all that through the Lidicare movement. And for what else is, you know, at stake here? Anything about, you know, I know the only real thing at stake today is my life. You know, that's what's on the line. You know, all the other sacrifices that I made since I got here, you know, all came worth it when I got to meet the people from England, you know, this weekend. You know, sitting and talking with them. You know, that's the way it is there. You know, and that's so much a beautiful dream in my heart today. You know, in reality. You know, see y'all and see all the other people from around. You know, and one of my beliefs, you know, you may slow us down, you know, kick us around, but you can't stop. Not today. Thank you.
Sorry,
I'm Pete. I'm an addict. I'd like to thank everyone for the love, for the care, for the sharing, and what Ed was saying. I needed to come over here to be told that NA London was okay, and NA London is okay. And the sort of dreams that we've been talking about over the last week, sort of things like the World Conference in London, is not some junky fantasy. It's a possible reality if we have trust in the man's plan. And stuff like an NA plane to England. I've had a week that I think run about to day two. My circuit's overloaded and blue. and you can be sure that this time next year there'll be not three, but six. And as Ed was saying, just as long as we keep the primary purpose, stay clean and to help the suffering addict, and have faith, it's going to happen. And I know that I found we got the same drugs, the same addiction. I also find we have the same conflicts, the same controversies. But that's okay. We're at it. And with faith, it'll happen. And I'd like to ask everyone to say hi to the people in England. And we'll see you next year. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Robert. I'm an addict from Nashville. And on the way down here, this is my first conference. Yeah. Seeing a convention, and I was comparing it to the World Convention. Well, you know, I had ideas in my mind. And I've enjoyed this as much or better than I did the World Convention. And I've just begun to get into service work, and I found that the more I put into it, that the more that I get out of it. And it's really neat to see something that's not going real well, like, you know, the newsletter or something like that, and try to work and to get it going smooth. And it's a good feeling. And I heard this song out of Nashville. I don't know where it came from, but services for those who really want recovery. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joe. I'm an addict.
Hi.
And I just want to thank everybody for what you gave me here. And and I love you all. Thank you.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rick, and I'm a drug addict from Knoxville, Tennessee. First of all, I don't know if it's been said or it's been said over and over. I'd like to thank Memphis from the bottom of my heart for being able to share all this with my area, and especially people like Pat on the coffee, sugar, all the logistics and the expediting involved in this situation here.
All right.
I came here with the kind of feeling that I didn't know what to expect. This is my first convention, you know, or conference, whatever. But I got what I needed out of it, and I think that I can take it back home to my group in my area and do us a hell of a lot of good. And you go back to the story that Ed had that first speaker meeting about that, those footsteps in the sand. You know, I've been looking back, seeing a lot of single set of footprints for years and years. Now I see that other set of footprints right here, man, right here beside me, you know. And I'm walking with you today. And I'm happy for that. I'm happy for Memphis and all you people here. Thank you.
I'm Gary. I'm an addict. You know, there's things that goes on in, you know, the groups in my town. You know, like, we do what we can. We send maybe, you know, once a year one person to the World Service Conference, or two if we can. And they come back loaded, you know, on service, you know, fixed, you know. And maybe out of that, you know, report that they give, one or two people will be touched and say, hey, I want that, you know. And, you know, the thing that hits me is I, for a long time, was looking down the street at 59, you know, and saying, pretty soon I'll be on 59, you know, going to Memphis, you know. And waiting it out, you know. And the thing here is that, you know, it's one total thing, you know, all the state, all the country, you know, nobody's running nothing, you know. And if this thing's going to happen, you know, to where one day, you know, they give some kind of statistics that there's 10 million addicts in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, then we're going to have to do it together. You know, nobody's a separate entity. And I love California, and I love the other places that I've been able to go to and see service, you know, being united and seeing the work being done. You know, and I have to go back to the basics and say, you know, it's in the book. You know, we have a book now. And Eric mentioned Paige's name, and I thought that was kind of a weird name, you know. And I love Paige, and it was the name that did it, I guess. I said, you know, I got to find out who Paige is, you know, because Paige shared with him, you know, in California at the service conference. And, you know, these little, you know, little names and to share something somebody shared with you with your group. You know, we tried to get a few people on film anonymously, and it's not going out of the area service meeting, you know, and we're going to try to give a decent report to where somebody can say, hey, I want to meet so-and-so. I want that. You know, I want to be fixed like that, you know. And slowly but surely, you know, the ones adds up, just like the one days, you know. You stay clean one day, pretty soon it's two, and then pretty soon it's 2 months, pretty soon it's 2 years, pretty soon it's 10 years, and, you know, that's how it has to happen, you know. I know I want to say, you know, thanks to Memphis and everybody here, but I wanted to say that a lot of people wanted to come but couldn't, not because of Turkey, you know, but because of personal responsibilities, because of age, their parents saying, no way, Jose, you know, and, you know, the understanding, you know, coming about for, you know, the parents. And I just wanted to throw in a pitch for Nornod. Because that's the part NA. And, I mean, you know, they can come in Narcotics Anonymous as far as I'm concerned, but if they don't relate, there's a place for them, you know, for the parents. So when people say, hey, I want to go to a conference, I say, okay. By the way, who are you going with? You know, okay. You know, and accept it, you know. And I think that's where Nor-Nan comes in, and I like to see Nor-Nan's growing. We're one, you know. The little thing about California and the thing about, you know, editing and the thing about phone calls, you know, as long as the ties are stronger that bind us together than the ones that would tear us apart, all will be well. And, you know, I didn't get no phone calls, and I don't know anybody personally that did, so it don't seem like a big deal, you know. I think if somebody knows who them people were, maybe there should be a one-to-one, you know, eyeball-to-eyeball contact and some understanding born, because I like to see them people here. You know, they chose to isolate themselves. You know, that's their problem. But it's our concern, and we're concerned about these people. And I want to just say that next May, you know, the World Service Conference needs all the areas, all the regions, all the people. You know, we need each other, you know. And what Pete said about England, the one of the world conventions to be, you know, dreams come true in our lives, you know, and I look forward to that. I've never been out of the country, you know, and I look forward to that. And my prayers and my feelings about it is that I'll just wait it out till it happens, you know, and that'd be beautiful to fly to England, you know. That'd be a trip, you know. So, y'all hang tough over there and keep in touch, you know. And I think that's the thing. The one reason I'm staying here is so I can get the list of everybody that registered, their names and phone numbers, you know. And even if it's only a Christmas card I can send or, you know, a little form letter, you know, Xerox or something like that, you know. Somebody from Washington sent me a form letter, you know, but they signed it, you know. And that, you know, that's where it's at, you know. All we can do is what we can do, you know. In Louisiana, I like to throw in a pitch for my part of the world. Louisiana and Texas needs some people. It needs some conferences, it needs some conventions, it needs some service structure. And we're fucking desperate. And that's no joke. And we wanted to host this conference, but we didn't have it together. And it hurt. The people didn't give a fuck. And it hurt. But we accepted that, hey, at least it's happening somewhere, you know. At least somebody has it together to do it. You know, and so we accepted it as is, and that's our dream. A few of us is that one day, you know, we will have a workshop, you know, a literature conference, and that's what we're going to be working on. I don't know what we're going to do with all that fucking literature. I'm going to read it myself, and try to present it in meetings, and try to get some kind of workshops for them and some people involved. And I just ask y'all to pray for it. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Paul. I'm an addict.
Aww.
Hello, everybody. I really like to express my thank you for me being able to come up here and say I'm an addict. I'm no longer schizo. I don't have to be two things. I've got one disease, and I needed to come here. You know, in Chicago, I didn't really have any idea what Narcotics Anonymous is all about, and I got a little glimpse of it up in Milwaukee and some more in Indianapolis, and now it's come together here in Memphis, and I hope I can share it with the rest of my area and in our newly found region, and I'd like to see it grow, and I'm just real glad to be here. Thank you.
My name is DJ, and I'm grateful to be an addict. I'm grateful to God and you people for my life in recovery today. You know, Ed was talking about the dream of meeting the guys from England. Pete was talking about, you know, short circuits and what. The first night y'all was in town, all that talking we was doing at the restaurant, ain't no wonder. I'd have caught a short circuit, too. And, you know, Ed was talking about that. That was the special people he was here to meet, you know. And anybody got a list? Everybody here? Because that's what I'm here for. You know, I'm going to take home a little piece of everybody. It's meant an awful lot to me being here. I don't know if I've been able to do all that much, but I've been grateful to be able to do what I could do. You know, I shared with a few people that, you know, it wasn't too damn long ago that nobody wanted me to do anything for them. And nobody give a shit. And, you know, today I got people that care. And, you know, he's got up here beating his chest because he's getting emotional, you know. I love it. You know, I love you people. I've just been able to get just a little piece of a lot of people. And I want to thank the people from Memphis. I've been here a little over a week, you know, and there's a lot of special people in this town. I came down here with some mixed feelings. I didn't know how this was going, you know, this was all going to come off, but I was hearing about different things going down, and I thought, wow, you know, it's going to be a different situation, and it is a different situation, you know. Somebody ought to wake up Daniel Webster and tell him to put convivence in the dictionary. Because he forgot it. And it's great, you know. I want to thank you people, you know. I've seen a lot of people work their asses off. And down there, sitting there with old IBM, I've gotten to meet an awful lot of you. You know, there's been a lot of you come down there and put in your little piece and do your little thing at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I've been grateful to be able to be down there and to be able to talk to the people that I've talked to and to gain what I've gained. I can remember the isolation, you know, a year ago up in Michigan. All we was two meetings a week, and God, I didn't know there was any other meetings in Michigan, you know. I made a mistake running into Jim at a conference and found out that N.A. was live in Michigan. You know, he had a couple of committee meetings and found out about our book and the growth that's going on in Narcotics Anonymous, you know. And I really feel like this is where it's at, right here, you know. And someone was, and Gary was talking about what we're going to do with all that material. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm hoping like hell that I can get enough participation at home to sit some people down and say, hey, let's do it. You are the voice of N.A. Let's fucking do something, man. You know, and if I can't get that going, you know, in my area, by God, I'm going to do it. I'm going to share it with whoever's willing to sit down and lend an ear. You know, there's been a lot of work go down and a lot of good times. I've loved it. I love y'all, man. Thanks.